Today, I'd like to talk with you about a Christian's view of death. What should we experience in our relationship to it? Should we fear it? Should we not fear it? Should we run to death or should we run away from it? Is it our friend or our foe? Let's talk about that today and see what God would teach us about that through His holy word, the scriptures. What do you think? Is it a good thing or a bad thing to die? Well, let's see what God would teach us about that today through His holy word. What can we say? Well, first of all, God tells us, and even to the whole world, not just to us, that we should face the reality of death, for we're all going to die one day. And God tells us this so many times in the scriptures, right on through, such as Psalm 49. Let me read that to you. God says, "Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. Truly no man can ransom himself or give to God the price of his life, for the ransom of his life is costly and can never suffice that he should continue to live on forever and never see the pit. Yea, he shall see that even the wise die. The fool and the stupid alike must perish and leave their wealth to others. Their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling places to all generations, though they named lands their own. Man cannot abide in his pomp. He is like the beasts that perish." So God is telling the whole world, you're going to die. You need to face that reality. Now, does the world face that reality? Do we? A lot of times we really don't want to face that, right? I'm not going to die. Everybody else is going to die, but not me. I'm just going to live on forever. Somehow I'm going to escape this. You know, if you think of the history of the world, only two people have never died. Elijah and Enoch. But they were taken up to heaven. Even they didn't continue on this earth forever. No one has continued on this earth forever, be it human or beast. And God says, you need to face this reality today because it is coming. But does the world face this reality? Let me ask you a question. What if you were to go to a party and start going around, you know, with your little drink and asking other people, so, have you considered that you're going to die one day? What would they consider of you? You're a nut job. You're morose. You're morbid. Get out of here, you kook. Why would you bring up that topic to me? The world doesn't want to face this. Sometimes at Friday Fest, we witness, and there was a lady there a year or so ago. I tried to share with her, what are you going to do when death comes? Because I was trying to bring her to Christ. And she says, I push it out of my mind. I don't think of such things. How many teenage songs are there on the radio? It's like every generation does this. We're going to be young forever. We've got tonight. We're never going to die. We're going to live forever. You know what? Newsflash, you are going to get old and you are going to die. And God says, give ear all the inhabitants of the world. Man and beast, wise and foolish alike must perish, must die, that is. You're going to die one day. And so you need to face that. And Jesus says, the person who does not face this is a fool. Like remember the rich man, the parable? He had umpteen goods. What shall I do? Well, I'll build larger barns and store all my grain and goods there. And God says to him, you fool, this night your soul is required of you. Tonight you must die. And all these things that you've prepared, whose will they be? And so Jesus says, aim at being rich toward God and not rich in the world. And so what is your life, says James? Your mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Do you acknowledge that today? Say amen. Amen. Anybody have coffee this morning? That little mist, that steam that comes up off your coffee? The Bible says our life is like that. David says in Psalm 39, God, you've made me my days a few handbreadths. My lifetime is as nothing in your sight. Surely every man stands as a mere breath. So first off, do you face the reality that you're going to die one day? Oh, it won't happen to me. Well, yeah, it will. One day our eyes will close for the last time in this world. And so God wants us to face that. He says, face it today with me rather than ignoring it and facing it on yourself later on. So the big question, though, is should we fear it or not? Should we run to this or should we run away from it? Is it our friend or is it our foe? Well, in a certain sense, it's our foe, and everybody fears death, right? We run from it because God has placed into us the desire to live. We want to live. 1991, I remember I was on the schooner California in a big square topsail schooner, 148-foot ship out there in the Pacific. And at night one time, we were taking the sail, as we often did, this big square topsail 70 feet above the deck. We climbed up on the rigging, and a sea was raging and running, and the mast was swinging this way and that like a tree in a hurricane or worse. Every billow and wave crashed, trying to throw you off. I actually had some adrenaline. I enjoyed it, adrenaline. But at the same time, it was scary, because one slip and I'd die. There's no doubt about it. One slip and I would die. That made me cling to the mast. And God's put in us the desire to live, and that's natural that we want to escape and avoid death. Even Jesus said when he was going to the cross, remember? Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. If possible, I'd really rather not go to this terrible, excruciating, painful death. But he went in obedience for our salvation. So, in a sense, we do fear death. It's natural. We desire to live. That's okay. That's good. But how about in the larger sense? Should we fear death as Christians? Well, the world certainly has a reason to fear death. Sin leads to death, says the Bible. Death is ultimately the result of the wrath of God against sin. In that sense, it is our foe. And there's coming a day, says God in Scripture, when everyone will have to stand before his throne for judgment. Let's read about that in Revelation 20. John sees this vision from Jesus. He says, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them." Who's that? Jesus, right? On his throne when he comes for judgment. And it says, "And I saw the dead standing before the throne, great and small, and books were opened. Also another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged by what was written in the books, by what they'd done. And the sea gave up the dead in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead in them, and all were judged by what they'd done. And then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire, the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Does it sound like there's something to be afraid of with respect to death for the world? It's not just that we die, but that there's judgment after that. That is very dread and very scary, and it should put fear into the hearts of the world. God wants it to. "It's appointed unto men to die once," says the Bible. "And after that comes judgment." And Solomon says, "For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil." Jesus says, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will render account for every careless word they utter." Hey, yikes, right? Luke 12, "I tell you, my friends," Jesus says, "don't fear those who can kill the body, and after that, that's all they can do. But fear him who, after he has killed, has the power to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." So does God want us to fear death, or the world to fear death in that sense? Yes, he does. He wants us to be in dread of it. But is that the end of the story? God says, should we fear death? Well, God says, if you fear, that is a good start. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But it's not the end. God says, let that fear of the judgment day drive you now to Jesus, my son, who's conquered the grave for you and takes away your fear. Say, God takes away my fear. He takes away our fear of death because he conquers it. Do you know what I declare to you today is that there is an escape from death? There's an escape from grave, and you know it very well. Jesus says, "Strive to enter by the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able." And what's the door? Jesus Christ. You know it. John chapter 10, Jesus says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Is that escape from death? It certainly is. And how do we do it? Jesus says, "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Do we have any baseball fans out there other than my dad? Any baseball fans? In baseball, you can be a batter and lay down a sacrifice bunt right? You lay it down. You lay down a bunt, willing to get yourself thrown out at first, to die, if you will, in order to do what? To advance the other runners around so that they can get home. And Jesus is the good shepherd. He lays down his life for us, willing to get thrown out, if you will, at first, to advance all of us, the runners, around so that we get home. And this is why Jesus removes our fear of death. He dies for our sins and now gives eternal life to all who believe in him, having been raised from the dead on the third day. Think about this. Jesus says, thus it's written, that the Christ should suffer. On the third day, rise from the dead, and that with our repentance and forgiveness of sins be preached in his name to all nations. We read in 2 Timothy 1 that the Savior Christ Jesus abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Yes. Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Eternal life I give to you. For this reason the Father loves me, that I lay down my life, that I may take it again. And then he gives the resurrection and the promise of eternal life to all who believe in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And as for judgment, Jesus says, truly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He doesn't come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Now, is Jesus going to be the judge of the world at the last day? Yes, he will. And the judge has said to you, you believe on me, you believe in my words, you believe in my Father. I, the judge, say you've passed out of my judgment into life. You don't have to be afraid of death. I've conquered it on your behalf. I've conquered it for you. And the Holy Spirit proclaims, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So are you starting to feel some joy? God is removing and has removed our fear of death because we have eternal life in his name. Listen to this word from Hebrews chapter 2 over here. It says, since we share in flesh and blood, Jesus partook of the same nature that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. That means you don't have to be afraid of death. God doesn't want you afraid of it. In Christ Jesus, you say, I'm a conqueror, more than a conqueror through him who loved me. But you say, wait a second though, Pastor, I'm still kind of afraid. There's some things that make me concerned and anxious about death. Let's go through a few. For one, I'm afraid of the unknown. I don't know what's out there. What is it, blackness? What is it, darkness? Am I going to be alone? Am I going to lose all that I hold dear? Jesus says, you're not losing all you hold dear. You're gaining all that you hold dear. It says that in Scripture. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 1. Paul, facing his death, says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Say gain. Gain. The word in the Greek is kerdos, which means gain, profit, advantage. I'm hard-pressed between living and dying. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. So when you die, your gain is that you get to go to be with Christ, and it's far better. Why would you be afraid of what's far better? We know that while we're at home in the body, we're away from the Lord, for we walk by faith but not by sight, we're of good courage, and we'd rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So what happens when you die? When you're away from the body, you're at what? Home with the Lord. Are you afraid of going home? Is that troublesome to you? We're afraid of going to foreign places we don't know, but you're going home, and that with rewards. For blessed are those who die in the Lord henceforth, says the Spirit. Blessed indeed that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. And Jesus says in John 14, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, why would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare a place, I'll come again and take you to myself. That where I am, you may be also. So don't be afraid of what's coming. It's awesome. Secondly, what if you say, but I'm afraid, though, I don't know how to get there. I get lost on the way to the supermarket. I get lost going across state. How am I ever going to go from earth to heaven, the longest journey ever? I don't know how to get there. Thomas says to Jesus, when he says, you know the way where I'm going? Thomas says, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What do you need to know to get to heaven? You just need to know Jesus Christ. It's like when I go to fly up to see my parents in Boston each year. I get on the airplane. From here to Boston's a long way. I don't know how to fly the plane. I don't know the direction. I don't know how to get there. I don't worry about that. I just get on the right airplane, and I just listen to music, and I'm carried there. God says it's the same way when you die. You don't have to know how to get there. Just make sure you're in the right airplane, Jesus Christ. And when you're there, the angels will carry you. For in the story of Lazarus and the rich man, Jesus says that Lazarus was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. You don't have to know how to get there. The angels will do the carrying for you and pilot you there. In fact, Jesus says, I'll come myself and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So are you afraid of that? No need to be afraid of that as a Christian. But I'm still afraid, though, Pastor, of the power of death. It just seems so scary. It's so final. It's so dreadful. Well, we read in the Bible that it says of Jesus that God raised him up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. And I declare to you, it's impossible for those who are in Christ Jesus to be held by death. If you're in him, you also will be raised by God. And it was like the story of a father once driving down the highway with his son trying to describe this to him. And he said, well, it's like passing a Mack truck on the highway. Are you afraid of that truck passing on the other side of the highway? And he says, no, says the son. You see, it's the difference between having a Mack truck hit you head on, which is if you are in your sins, but if you're in Christ, it's just passing you on the other side. Its shadow passes over you, but not its power. And Jesus has taken all the power out of death. It's only its shadow passes over you. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Don't worry about its power, God says. I've removed its power. I've removed its sting. Remember that story of the, see if I have it here. That story of the boys with the bee. And there were two bees out there, and they were with their father. And the bee came and stung the older brother. And he went down crying on the ground. And then the bee lit off after the young boy, the younger son. And he's like, Dad, get it off, the bee, it's going to sting me. And the father says, no, son, don't worry, because the bee can only sting once, and it's left its stinger in your older brother. It's the same way for us. Death may buzz around us. It may seem terrifying, like it can hurt us, but it can only sting once, friends, and it's left its stinger in your older brother. The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus lays his right hand upon us, saying, fear not, I'm the first and the last. I died, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades. You don't have to worry about that. And God says, you should not only not fear death, you should run to it as Christians, because I've got amazing things for you. For you've died and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, you'll also appear with him in glory. Our lives here in this world are like an acorn on the tree. We're alive, but this is not what an acorn's destined to. It's destined to go into the earth. Come up as an oak tree. The caterpillars are not destined to be caterpillars. They're born that way for a while. Go into the chrysalis, into the earth, if you will, and come out as creatures of heaven. That's what God has destined for us. And in Cape Cod, we have this beautiful bay behind our old house. And I used to kayak or sail across it far. And then there's this outer stretch of open, deserted dunes. And I'd come up across those dunes after this long journey. And I'd start to hear, before I even saw it, the roar of the great North Atlantic. And I'd smell that salt air and the jubilation of spirit. And I'd come up over that hill, that last dune, stretching before me was the great wide expanse of a wonderful kingdom of the sea. In the Bible, it's the same way when we get to heaven. As we hear the roar of the ocean, we come up over the crest of the hill, and stretching in the expanse before us, a great wide open kingdom of such glory and majesty as to make your heart sing with jubilation of spirit. That's what awaits us as Christians. where we shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike us, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be our shepherd, and he'll guide us to springs of living water. I'll conclude with this word from Pilgrim's Progress when Christian and Hopeful got across the river of death. It says they both then took courage, for after that the enemy was as still as a stone until they were gone over. And as they ascended the mount to the city, they beheld a great company of the heavenly host which came out to meet them. Trumpeters saluted Christian and his fellow with 10,000 welcomes from the world, and this they did with shouting and sound of trumpet. Here also they had the city itself in view, and they thought that they heard all the bells therein to ring to welcome them thereto. Thus they came up to the gates. Do you think when you die, all the bells of God's great city, Mount Zion in the far north, will ring with great sounds of victory that another saint is coming home, home forever to be with the Lord and with loved ones forever? And why should we fear, friends? For we desire a better country than this world, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called our God, for he has prepared for us a city. In Jesus' name, amen.